justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee in thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
On this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord.
Thank you.
Keep, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy church with thy perpetual mercy, and because the frailty of man without thee cannot but fall, keep us ever by thy help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Our confessional reading this morning from Luther's Small Catechism, Second Commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. Our Old Testament reading for this morning from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 13 and 14. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So far our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for this morning, and the text for this morning's sermon, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This is our epistle reading. The gospel reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here ends our reading of the gospel. Let's join in confessing our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
The epistle reading for this morning and our text for the sermon from Paul's letter to the Christians in Galatia, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verses 16 and 17. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Please be seated. Several terms in those two verses that we need to define or at least talk about a little bit as we get started here. And part of the reason is verse 25, the verse following our text. We're looking over these again, and in fact, it is the theme for the sermon. In verse 25, he brackets our text with, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Important terms here. Walk. Biblical terminology, especially with the Apostle Paul, is talking about your lifestyle. This is the way you live. Spirit, just in our modern ways of making clear, think of it as with an uppercase S. We're talking the Holy Spirit here. Flesh, my old sinful human nature, my old Adam, as Luther calls it. And so what we're talking about is a battle between the flesh, my old human nature, and the Spirit in my life. The one produces works of the flesh, the other fruits of the Spirit. So let's look a little bit at those two things, if you will. Works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. He begins with a list of sexual sins. And I think there's good reason for that. God's great gift by which two become one flesh has, by Adam's fall, been turned from man and wife giving their love to one another, to Satan's powerful tool, drawing mankind into insatiable, ever unsatisfiable lust for personal pleasure. And that sets the theme for this whole list of works of the flesh. They're all about me. We can go on. Idolatry? Yeah, that's about me as God. When you eat of it, you will become like God. Where am I at here? Losing my place. Idolatry. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like. Beautiful list, is it not? But then, what about the fruits of the Spirit? By the way, Paul gives us that list and then says, as I've told you before, people who in the King James translation do those things do not inherit the kingdom of God. Do is not the best translation of the word from the Greek that Paul uses here. It's a different word. It means practice, usually. It's never used of God's deeds, but only of man's. And like every language, we have a lot of different words that talk about what we call doing. This one, practice, is a good term. Noticed a couple of New Testament English translations that use the word indulge, which I think is exactly what Paul is talking about. It's those who indulge in those, who wallow in it, if you will. But then going on to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, he begins with. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If the works of the flesh are about me, the fruits of the Spirit are outside of me, beginning with love. We have all kinds of crazy notions about love. Think of it in terms of the law. God's law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Fruits of the Spirit are outside of me. So, Paul goes on. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh. How's that? Well, Paul explains that too in Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. A few verses later he says, For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Because in the cross and resurrection of Jesus, the works of your flesh have received their reward, their death, and you are on his account righteous in his sight. For this reason, Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So then, what do we do about that? How do we walk in the Spirit and see to it that we do so? We're talking Holy Spirit stuff here, right? Third article of the Creed, if you will. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion, the saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Luther says, what does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel and enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true church. We're talking about the fellowship of the body of Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, says Jesus, there I am in the midst of them. Here in the body of Christ, where we confess together our sins, and where he pronounces in the mouth of a human being, whom he authorized the night of his resurrection, whoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. We find ourselves absolved of our works of the flesh. Here we hear his word proclaimed, strengthening our faith
in the struggle between the spirit and our flesh. Here, the body that was crucified and the blood that washed away the works of my flesh are given to me. Enter my body. Strengthen me in my life. Paul wraps that all up with this encouragement, if you will. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This phrase, think of it in the terms of the coach talking to his team before they run out on the field for the game. If we're going to play this game, let's go out and give it our best effort. If we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, and we certainly do live by the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
communicants at this time.
Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor on our heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the flesh of their own, with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Of majesty, co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Amen.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take and eat.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Take and drink. This is the true body.
Thank you.
This one.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks unto thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.